Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand. Before D-Mac starts whining about Mike Evans again, let me ask you, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Fitness Gallery. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Today is a Denver sports native. It's all happening today. Whoa!
What was that?
That might be a little bit of the Nuggets game right there.
Ooh. Wait, what was that?
That's a bucket. Who scored that bucket? Oh, shoot, I went to the wrong thing on the Corsano
pitch. In the lane. Oh,
put it up. Off the glass. Beautiful.
See? Nuggets Corsano. We just scored there. Michael. Jeremy Grant. Sorry. Made a three-pointer.
Michael Malone.
Oh. 92-89 as the fourth quarter has just started. Just started. So we are counting on you to text us and let us know what's happening because...
Maybe light a fire.
Because you know, when I
fan the flame.
When I tune in NBA TV, I got Philadelphia, Washington.
Weird.
And when I try to find, you know, altitude, I get nothing. Because we have Comcast.
Right.
You know, us and the vast majority of people living in here in the Denver area. But again, I don't want any angry texts from anybody. I want everybody to be okay.
Love you all.
Love everybody. Everybody love everybody. But I'm just saying there's a sports NATO going on. And the Nuggets are, well, they're winning right now, which would be awesome. The Avalanche start at 4:30. You got the Rockies at 6:40. I mean, are you kidding me? This is awesome. But we need a little bit of your help to, it needs a little help from you on the text line so we know what's going on. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, just send out a smoke signal. Let us know what's happening.
Let us know what's happening.
And we'll tell you based off what you tell us.
A lot of people are reacting to Nate yelling at us. I totally agree with Nate.
I know. They love him. They love him. Why do they all got his back?
Finally, somebody reasonable.
What does that mean?
It's refreshing to hear someone outside of the fan groupthink bubble. There you go. I love it. Hey, man.
Welcome on board, Nate.
The best thing we can do is have a wide variety of opinions and We're probably the first people that should criticize ourselves. So that's Nate Jackson holding us accountable. Now, I disagree with Nate.
Now, clearly he's in the wrong.
Right.
Clearly he doesn't understand what's going on.
We can appreciate his criticism without saying he's
right. I mean, good for you for
right.
critiquing us, but I mean, you know, critique us on something else.
I think with the Juwan James situation, it's I think he was clearly talking about the criticism that stemmed from Vic Fangio. And
the crazy part about it is it was not a one-time offense. I mean,
no.
That went on all season long.
Enough that we all sat there in the media and like, what did he just say?
Did he just say mentally? Did he use the word mental?
And it was multiple times during the season.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just once. And to the point where the media was like, hey, coach. You think Juwan James is mentally prepared to play this week?
Using his words, asking him a question with his words.
I got to admit, I've never heard a coach say that about a player in my 26 years of covering the NFL. I've just never heard it.
No, man. I mean, I know plenty of players that coaches thought they were soft. And behind closed doors, they would talk about them. And they would even talk about it amongst the team.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it carried over into the press. No, not a single time.
I mean, I don't think I know the Broncos coaches thought Julius Thomas was faking things with his ankle injury. I know. In fact, the biggest proof in that pudding was the game. And this did happen. Think about this for a second. They made Julius Thomas active with no intent to play
him. That's the ultimate just slap in the face. Hey, man, you know what? I know you're not good to play this week, but I'm going to just dress you just in case. I mean, you know, in case something crazy happens.
It was
We're not going to put you in the game, but we're just wear your pads and just hang out.
So that means they were willing. When you have a relatively, in the NFL, small roster, just 46 guys.
Right.
Just 46 guys. That we are willing to not dress other guys who could play to prove to a guy you should be playing. He's in his, I mean, he didn't wear his helmet, didn't have to, but he's on the sideline, he's in pads. He had to go through the whole thing.
Think about for a second that
it was insane.
Kind of happened with Peyton Manning.
Whoa, what?
I mean, I'm not saying that they challenged him like that, but I mean, Peyton Manning dressed as a backup. You know,
he eventually did.
He came into that Chargers game as a backup.
He was probably ready a couple weeks before that.
Right. Well, you know what? And good for Coach Kubiak for saving him the dignity of dressing him and not playing him.
I do recall that time, and we all realized, come on now, Peyton. I mean, you're okay. You could
But it was smart. Dude, that was a part of the miracle of how Coach Kubiak handled that entire situation.
It's amazing.
Somehow, some way, you kind of sort of bench slash didn't bench a Hall of Famer, you know?
Yeah, what was that?
And there was no drama about it on the team.
Kubiak
whatsoever.
Blamed himself. You can read about this in the Elway book.
I shouldn't have left him out there.
I put you in a bad spot in that Kansas City game.
Mm-hmm.
The zero quarterback rating.
I will never forget that.
Dude.
And breaking the record and getting booed off the field all in the same game.
And this was, again, in the Elway book, this was breezed over. I do believe, what was Kubiak supposed to do? Peyton Manning was like 6 yards away from breaking the passing record. And the reason, if you remember, Tyler, and you must remember this clear as a bell because you were on the offense. You're playing the Colts in Indy. They go on a 6.5-minute, 50-yard, non-scoring drive to end the game.
Oh, we all thought he was going to break the record in Indianapolis, and it was just going to be so fitting, so perfect. Like, that talk about a storybook situation, you know?
Even if you weren't going to win that particular game, think about this for a second. How do you not get the ball back on a 50-yard drive where it ends up in a knee? Like,
D-Mac, you're not supposed to poke somebody else in the eyes. I mean, did you not know that?
That was Tlaib. It was that.
You can't poke somebody in the eyes.
Yep. The drive was done. Tlaib poked the dude in the eyes. He got a 15-yarder, and it was enough for the Colts just to sit on the ball.
It never would cross my mind to take my fingers, reach across, and poke somebody in the eyes in between their face masks.
It's like Three Stooges.
And I'll put it then again. I can't say it would ever cross my mind to snatch a chain either.
That's Aqib. It's the good and the bad, man. It's the good and the bad. Got himself tossed out of that Raiders game that they could have gone on to win. That was the Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian horror show.
You know how I know? Because I got caught up in that melee.
Right, you were right there,
I was working the sideline of the broadcast, and I mean, no joke, I was 2 feet from the entire melee.
But
matter of fact, I was looking for a chain, see if I could go make some money off of it.
The truth is, back to the Colts game, you just needed 6 yards. And Manning was already beat up and hurt and shouldn't have played in that Kansas City game. He shouldn't have. He wasn't ready to go. But you're six, because you couldn't pick up those 6 lousy yards, what was he supposed to do? Go be hurt now? It was weird, man. That whole thing was weird. Because he picked it up early in the game, but he already wasn't playing all that well. And you're right. He got booed off the field in the same game. Because he was playing terrible, because he was hurt.
That was probably the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen Denver fans do.
But think about this just for a second. Think about this just for a second. What if Peyton doesn't play at all in that game and doesn't get the record? Brock goes in, you guys play well, you play well the rest of the season, which you did, and you wouldn't have played Peyton in the playoffs at that point.
Yeah, you would have. You would have gone back to Peyton Manning.
You would have?
For the same reasons that we went back to him. I mean, Brock Osweiler did everything he possibly could have. He did everything right. We were winning games. He was doing his job. He was definitely not doing anything to take away from the team. He got us to the playoffs. He got us in a situation where we were winning football games. I mean, what else could Brock have done? You for sure would have gone back to Peyton Manning because it's Peyton Manning. And when you're in the playoffs, do you want Michael Jordan in the game or not?
Let me tell you, in Jason Cole's book, Elway, A Relentless Life, he goes through this whole thing, and Brock gets trashed. Brock is looked at as not strong enough personality, weak. Brock gets trashed in the book. You got to read this thing, man. You got to check it out. I mean, there's a huge chunk about your year.
I'm sure there's a lot of fascinating stuff in it. I got to like read and stuff. That's hard. I mean, if it's over 1,000 words, I mean, I gotta get some cliff notes or something.
I just am so unconvinced that John Elway actually read this book. The stuff that's in there and the way it portrays certain situations, I mean, it's complimentary because you won a Super Bowl and, you know, Elway put it all together. By the way, do you realize in this book Wade Phillips' name isn't mentioned?
I do not realize that. I've not read it.
How can you talk about the great defense assembled and not mention Wade Phillips' name? How is that possible?
Very weird. That's very unusual.
Anyways, it comes out September 15th. I get it. There's a lot of other cool stories in there, but I'm reading a book about you guys and the great defense and Wade Phillips' name's not mentioned? Wow. So is there a beef between Elway and Wade Phillips? I mean, I guess there is.
No, but there was a slight conversation between Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips in front of the entire team about Wade's tweeting.
Was there?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Wade kind of gets.
I think it all started with like the cheesehead comment or something. I think it was after the Packers game. Do you remember how after every victory?
Yeah, there was something.
Wade would tweet something that was a little bit of shot at the team, but it was kind of comical.
And they didn't like that.
I think it was jestful, but it was also one of those things where like behind every joke, there's like a hint of something serious, you know?
Right.
And so in front of the whole team one time, Kubiak's like, look, guys, I'm talking to you guys every day about being careful about what you say in the media. Like, look, let's go earn our keep. Let's not be talking about the Super Bowl. Let's not be talking about anything like that.
Yeah.
Stay off Twitter. Don't do anything dumb. But I'll be honest with you, it's kind of hard for me to lead by example when my defensive coordinator is the worst offender.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, everybody laughed, including Wade, and Wade like stood up and he said something funny at the time.
Yeah,
there was not tension in the room, but
right.
You know, I mean, the comment was made.
It's funny because it was true.
Right.
All right,
dude. He had some great jokes, though. I mean, it'd be fun to go back and find all those tweets.
Hey, man, whatever it was, he didn't get mentioned in the book. Del Rio got slammed in the book. John Fox got ripped apart. I'm just like, did John really read this book? All right, when we come back, Vic Fangio talking about Bryce Callahan. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by FastSellGuarantee.com. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Dina.
Free-eyed Raven on our Sports NATO Wednesday, Tyler. Nuggets up 110-101. Great game. Really nice. Something how we are saving our guys for the big games. Oops, 110-103. Joker at the Lions. Oops. Yeah, and it keeps going because the score changes rapidly.
You're not even doing play-by-play because you can't even see it.
No, I mean, I'm not seeing anything. It's 114-107 with 3:41. We'll recap the game coming up here. Probably after 4:30, the game will be a wrap. And then as soon as that game's done, bam! Sports NATO Avalanche.
Thunder. Lightning.
And the Avalanche have a critical playoff game?
Sort of.
Kind of.
It's like not a playoff game, but they call it a playoff game. Yeah.
I read from one of our three-eyed Ravens, if they win, because we're the hockey guys, they wrap up second seed.
Sweet.
In a playoff.
You know, we might be able to get some good access into that one.
Yeah.
We got some birdies out there.
And go Oilers. We got Dater.
Go Oilers.
I mean, where is Dater being allowed to watch Is he still stuck yelling at old men on corners in Edmonton?
No, man. He got released. He got released from his quarantine.
He's gone, huh?
So he's, like, able to watch the games, but we're kind of, like, still in our quarantine.
Right,
unable
right.
to watch. It's weird. I can't explain right. it.
Because the game's on NBCSN, but no, you can't watch it. But we got Dater there in Edmonton, so we'll check in. All right, Bryce Callahan. Here is Vic Fangio about Bryce Callahan. Go ahead, Kev.
Bryce's health is good. About a week or 10 days before we came back here, he got sick, not COVID sick. He had a stomach virus and he lost some weight. So we got to get that back on him. But his foot right now is fine. No problems. We are going to work him at both spots. He'll play corner and inside at nickel, along with obviously a bunch of other people at both positions. And we'll see how it unfolds by the time we line up against Tennessee. But he's going to work both spots.
What do you mean a bunch of what? Wait, huh? A bunch of other people? Wait a second. What the heck is going on here? AJ Boye is one of those other people, right?
We sure as heck paid Bryce Callahan a lot of money. It's crazy to think that a year removed from giving him all that money, he's had to renegotiate it. He's never played. And we're in a situation where we don't have a true starting corner on
right.
this team. Like, we don't have a number one corner on the team. AJ Boye is not a true number one guy. You don't even know who your number two guy is going to be. And we're talking about Bryce Callahan like he's going to be in the mix, you know?
It's Callahan and a bunch of other guys. He doesn't even mention Boye.
So it's Bosby. It's...
it is? Yadam.
You got Bosby. You got Yadam. You got Callahan.
What about Ojemudia?
No, Ojemudia is going to be your starter.
Doesn't he have to be?
Yeah. Well, considering that draft pick should be maybe like the most important draft pick of all of the draftees for us to evaluate.
Right.
You know, John Elway went out on a limb with Michael Ojemudia.
Big time.
He selected him in the third round ahead of Lloyd Cushenberry when you needed a starting center in a bad way. Not only did he select him ahead of Cushenberry, but he took him in a round in which nobody was predicting he was going to go. So,
and you had three picks in that round.
Look, I'm not telling you you can't do that. Matter of fact, I love it. If you value a guy, who cares what round you select him in? I mean, if you know that that dude can ball and he was going to be a fourth or fifth rounder according to other people's predictions, hey, man, if you're right, you're right. But just know that that's going to be the draft pick that we evaluate him on because nobody else saw it coming there.
Right. You were the one that said, this guy is this valuable, we can't wait. A bunch of other guys. Listen, man, if the starting corners, if you're a nickel, aren't Boye, Ojemudia, and Callahan, what's going on? And I get it. He's a rookie. But like you just said, you valued him that highly. Hey, Justin Simmons was a rookie, third-round guy. He started right away.
Man, why is it that some guys, they just can't catch a break? Like, Callahan misses the entire season, and he comes back, and he lost a bunch of weight right before the season begins. Oh, tough break, dude.
Something. I've seen the workout videos of Callahan. He's got hype videos, too. He must have artists.
Oh, is that right?
He must have artists around him.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's a good idea to have hype videos. Not right now.
His hype videos are pretty low-tech. His hype videos really do look like a dude.
Somebody was on the iPhone and just filmed
right,
it.
Right. Bouncing on balance bubbles, you know, the I don't know what they're called.
Dude, I got a little bit of sad news I got to get in. And I'm actually being serious. Do you know the CU superfans, the Twins?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, just world famous. They're absolute sweethearts. Anybody that knows anything about CU athletics, these two ladies are just the best. They were at every event I ever had in my entire career.
Yes.
I stayed in touch with them in over the course of my retirement. Well, unfortunately, Betty Hoover, who was 80 years old, she has passed away. And so,
how old was she?
80 years old. No, excuse me. It says for 80 years,
yeah,
they've been iconic
older,
fans.
Yeah.
So I don't know. 95.
Right.
95 years old. So just want to send my condolences out to her sister, Peggy, and to the family. They've meant so much to the CU family, and I just wanted to get that out there and just say thank you to to Peggy and to Betty for what they've meant to the entire CU family. So just my condolences.
That is sad news. They are legendary. Legendary.
I just saw them during the season and, you know, took a picture. I had my kids take a picture with them. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I mean, I go up to see you.
They're legendary.
And I could have my kids go take pictures with the coaches. I could certainly introduce my kids to the players. Right. But no, I wanted my kids to take a picture with the Twins.
Yeah, if organizations are lucky, there are fans that become iconic. And there's no doubt the Twins were that. That is sad news. Sorry to hear that. Okay, when we come back, we have Peter King will join us in just a little bit. Plus, the training camp schedule, what you can expect, and we'll see how the Nuggets finish up. It's looking good as the Sports NATO rolls on today on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by FastSellGuarantee.com. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
August 5th, 2020. Our first Sports NATO of the year. The Nuggets, Avalanche, and the Rockies all playing back to back to back, Tyler. Look out!
We got one dude causing his own tornado.
We got a final! Your Denver Nuggets 132, the San Antonio Spurs 126. We got a win!
Let's go!
First game of the Sports NATO, we got a victory!
Dude, are you looking at this stat line?
Give it to me.
Oh, buddy, you got a new starter. You got a new starter for the Denver Nuggets, man. Michael Porter Jr., 32 minutes, 30 points, 15 rebounds.
Wow.
Wow. Back-to-back 30-point game for MPJ.
With zero assists. He's not giving the ball up.
That's amazing. That's actually amazing.
5 for 9 from three-point land.
Nicola got 25. He had 11 assists, 4 rebounds. But Michael Porter Jr., 30 points, 15 rebounds.
Dude, what did we ask Zach Bia? Holy cow, did we write this down? We asked for a total score combination.
I think he said 236.
He said 232. So it was 132 to 126 for a final of 158, or 258 rather. So Zach was way off on that.
Yeah. See, the crystal ball gets a little bit more foggy when you don't have the Google machine.
Look at this scoring in the bubble. Zach did hit the nail on the head, though, with the fact that they were going to be in gyms that were going to be much more beneficial to shooting. They were shooters' gyms.
Yeah, that's an interesting pickup. I certainly wouldn't have picked that one up. That's something that you give for playing the game for sure, and it makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, just having a wall right behind a basket, think about what that does for your depth perception.
Well, apparently it helps. Holy cow. Wow. What a game for the man, they looked terrible in that first game.
What's Coach Malone thinking right now? Is he happy with MPJ, or is he kind of like, oh, man, why'd you have to do that? Why'd you have to do that?
I don't know who's more confused right now, Coach Malone or Post Malone. It's, you got to play him. You got to start him. Michael Porter Jr. has gone back-to-back 30-point games. Wow.
How do you not start him after that?
I mean, Michael Porter Jr. was on fire.
Last half. Now Porter's going to try it again. White falls down, and Porter has 30.
30! Jokic had a great game today, too, by the way. 25, 11 assists. Light on the rebounding. You know, again, we haven't seen the game, so I'm going to guess he was working more from the outside. I'm guessing Porter Jr. was more on the inside. I mean, maybe not. He's 5 for 9 from 3-point line. So
I'm a little bit confused about another stat line, though. There's another one that's confusing.
Bull Bull?
Yeah, it's got a whole bunch of zeros. As in 0 minutes played.
So hold
zero
on.
Assists.
Hold on. We didn't need Bull Bull to score 132 points tonight? We did that without Bull Bull?
0 minutes?
And we scored 132 points without Bull Bull?
It's hard to imagine.
Dude. All right, maybe he's not going to
play. Yeah, you're losing that bet, my friend.
We'll see. And this is without...
He literally might not play at all.
So no Harris, no Jamal Murray, But you got Michael Porter Jr. No Will Barton. All right, Nuggets, way to go. Way to start off the Sports NATO today. We're dropping the puck.
Hey, you know what? That's good, man. We needed the Nuggets to get a little mojo rolling. It was a rough start for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
They just looked like they were sluggish. They didn't have the energy. They kind of looked like they didn't have the conditioning. And, you know, to have two explosive games like this back-to-back from Michael Porter and to have the Nuggets win two games in a row, okay, all right. Now we get a little mojo.
On the text line from our three eyed Ravens there, MPJ is crazy good, guys. Apparently.
Noted.
Sports NATO! !! Nuggets win. I love people sending us final scores. Nuggets win 132-126.
Appreciate it. I mean, I didn't know that, so I appreciate
it. What would we do? I mean, who would want to watch that, though? Nobody. Not really, huh? Oh, by the way, I do got to correct something. I did get called on the text line.
Oh.
The texters are much smarter. Like, D-Mac, you idiot. They're always so nice and polite, too. Justin Simmons.
It's actually Nate texting. I don't know if you know this, but Nate actually texts in as well.
D Schmuck. Love you, Nate Jackson.
Signed N Jack.
Yeah, your pal. Thanks for encouraging me to move here.
Right.
You're an idiot. Justin Simmons. This gets into the minutia. People love this, though. Played in 13 games as a rookie, Tyler. Only started 3 of those games. Did not start every game. I was fooled that he was a starter because he played in most of them except for a couple games where he was hurt. But okay. Police. You got me.
I actually caught it. I noticed it. But I didn't say anything because I just thought it felt like it was not a big deal. Just let it pass.
Let it go.
I didn't want to be like Nate and just like get in a fight with you.
Right. Didn't start D-Mac. He only started in 3 of the games, not all of them. He only played in 13, not 16. So your point about Ojemudia is completely invalid. All right, so Ojemudia then, by the same standard as Justin Simmons, should start 3 games and play in 13 of the 16 games.
Not really. I mean, who's your second starting corner?
I don't know.
This is a different situation.
Yeah, we got Bryce Callahan and a lot of other guys.
That's a tough ask, man. Like, if you really think about that, that's a really tough ask. Of a third rounder, I mean, any third rounder, that'd be a tough ask. But especially a guy that most people in the league, they didn't think that he was going to be picked until the 4th or 5th round, you know? So to think that you're going to rely on that guy in year 1 as a full-time starter, that's probably not realistic.
It's funny.
It's got to be Callahan.
Well, it's going to be Callahan and a lot of other guys. It is pretty funny that Fangio just didn't mention, like, who else would really be playing. A lot of other guys.
Well, that's what you do when you don't know who's going to be your starter. That's right. Kind of how you approach it.
Right.
We got a lot of guys out there competing.
It's Callahan and a lot of other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So much for, didn't we used to have nicknames for our defense, our secondary? Didn't they?
No fly.
Weren't we the no fly zone? Now we're Callahan and a lot of other guys playing the best hits from
now
the 50s.
Now we're Callahan and the highest paid defense in the NFL that we don't know who our starting corner is.
When we come back, Peter King. Peter King, the authority on the NFL, has a fascinating take of where we stand in terms of this season coming off. Peter King joins us next.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Fitness Gallery. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
We are joined by the legendary Peter King, and we are so grateful that you are taking some time to talk to us today, Peter. How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm doing great. How about you guys? How's Denver doing these days?
Well, that's an interesting question, Peter. Surrounding what?
Denver is gorgeous. The city.
Denver's great.
Well, yes. Peter, it's great to have you, man. I was reading your most recent piece here, and, you know, the bubble that the Saints have created, having the optional team hotel that all team employees can go stay at, makes a lot of sense. And we're watching NBA go off. pretty much, I mean, it's been perfect so far. And football clearly cannot create a bubble like that. Do you expect to see more teams come out with a plan like the Saints have?
I would have thought so. But I have not heard of a single one that's doing it like they are. And the reason that I'm a little bit surprised by that is that in the NFL, everybody copies everybody else. But I do think that teams were so far down the road of what exactly they were doing that to change up right now, I think a bunch of teams just didn't really want to do that. So I'm a little surprised, but if a team starts to really, get a significant number of positives and people are starting to sit out, who knows? You never know. But the hard thing is I just can't see this happening during the season. I can't see guys voluntarily, unless, Sean Payton gave me a good example. I mean, right now, Emmanuel Sanders' family is not with him in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So all it is for him, because what most teams do, if you're a free agent and you're just coming to town, and in this particular year, this weird year where a free agent would not have come to Denver on May 25th because, there was no, everybody was having to basically either officially or unofficially, steer clear of all these team areas. And so, Emmanuel Sanders just got to New Orleans a week or so ago. So he's staying in a team hotel. So now, instead of the Saints just having everybody stay at sort of a dorm-like Hilton in out near the airport in New Orleans, they're moving them to a really nice, one of the two or three nicest hotels in the city, the Lowe's Hotel, which is right by the French Quarter. And everybody, I hear that all but about 20 players on the team, including some real respected veterans like Mario Davis, they're all going and doing this because they want to give themselves the best chance to win. Now, once the season starts, they're not going to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
At least the plan is not to be doing it. But I don't know. I really happen to think that that at some point this year, I'm not saying it's going to be, they're going to be able to force players. They're not going to be able to force players. But I do think at some point this year, teams are going to present this as an option to players and coaches because there's just going to be too many positives.
You know, it's interesting. Emmanuel and his family actually live here year round.
Yeah.
And they just like this area and they've just called this a home. So that is interesting to hear that Emmanuel's doing that. That's a sacrifice, big sacrifice, being away from his family. How willing? But Emmanuel's kind of an old school, older guy. How many players do you think would be willing to make that kind of sacrifice?
That's a great question. I happen to think that until or if there's an outbreak on a team, I mean, I'm going to throw a few things out here. I mean, Matthew Stafford is a vital, the most important player on the Detroit Lions. His wife is a cancer survivor, and I believe he's got four children. So Matthew Stafford is going to go home every night after practice. You know, he might not do anything else, but he's going to go home every night. I thought Joe Judge, the coach of the Giants, made a great point when someone was asking him this exact question. And Joe Judge said, I need my family at home. I need them basically to be in a bubble for 6 months. Because he does. I mean, it's hard for, say a wife and family or a girlfriend or whatever to basically just stay at home.
Right.
And not go out. And I'm not suggesting that everybody do that. But what I am suggesting is you, and I saw this because I toured the Vikings training facility 2 weeks ago with their infection control officer, Eric Sugarman. And as I told Sugarman, man, you could eat off the floor in here. It's fantastic. So I'm just telling you, it's not going to be, people are not, players are not going to get, not going to get COVID inside their facility, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to get it on the outside of the facility.
Yeah,
just
right,
look what happened to Eric Sugarman. He got it on the outside of the facility when he basically went home. And he's got two boys. One is a kid who just graduated from high school, and he's married. So I, you know, who knows how he got it, but I don't think he got it at the facility. And that is the thing that is going to be really difficult for all these players.
The actual protocol at the facility is pretty amazing. You know, once you get in that building, it's one of the safest places you can be. So one of the riskier parts of the season is just simply travel. How do you think the league is going to handle travel this year? Are they going to restrict it? Or are they going to try to make teams fly in on the same day even potentially?
Well, you know, I originally thought that that is exactly what they were going to do. And in my opinion, if I was an NFL coach and I looked at my schedule at the beginning of the year, I'm telling you, even if I had an early game, if I've got a flight of less than an hour to get to the road game, like in Denver, that's troublesome. There aren't a lot of short trips. There are probably no short trips from Denver.
Just Kansas City.
But honestly, yeah, Kansas City, you're right.
That's it.
But I would, honestly, my thought is that I would do as many, one-day trips as possible. Because, you know, here's the other interesting thing. They are, the NFL, and all of these rules have not been finalized yet, okay? But the NFL is likely to enforce a rule that would not allow any player to leave the team hotel on the road, and would mandate that no player, has people from the outside into the facility, into the hotel. By that, I mean, you know, you don't invite four or five members of your family to go eat dinner in the lobby. And as one general manager said to me, he said, you know, one of the great joys of what it is that we do is that six or eight of us every Saturday night in whatever city we go to, we go eat a great meal somewhere. And he goes, that's by the board. We're all, he said, I'm probably just going to get room service. Or just get something to go from the team meal in the hotel. So there's a lot of little things that are going to change this year.
Thank you so much, Peter. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
No problem, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Peter King on the Fireball Hotline.
The scene.
Oh.
Top of the car, one time.
What?
He scores!
Oh! That's right. The Nuggets have already won today. The Sportsnado continues. Kale McCarr from Cadre and Landeskog at 3:19 in the first. Avalanche over the Stars right now, 1-0.
Let's go, Avs!
Hockey guys.
Hockey guys.
Hockey guys.
See, we got smoke signals. We got it all. To the grand
McCarr.
Dude. Kale McCarr.
Power play goal.
I love it.
But as McKinnon has it. Tried to go through the seam. Up top the car. One timer. He scores! Kale McCarr!
That's not the actual goal, right? That's just a Kale McCarr goal.
Oh,
that's the goal. That was the goal.
That's the goal.
Wow. Good job, guys.
Dude, Sports Nato, it's so real.
I'm sorry, what?
Sports NATO?
Right.
Sports NATO?
Sports
what
NATO?
What did I say there? NATO. I mean, tomato.
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I got my own little tornado going on in here. Shout out to the boss man, heard my complaints on air. Yeah. Like, I should, probably shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, Boss Man shows up. I got my own little fan. Actually, it's an industrial fan.
I'm trying to just see if we can hear it.
Can you hear it?
It's low.
You can hear it?
Barely.
Really?
Barely. It's good.
Do we have to turn it off?
No.
Okay,
no,
good,
dude.
Good.
We got a Sportsnado going on. We're not going to turn off.
Or a Nato.
If you're in France, sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we called him Nolan Arenado for like 5 years, and we're like, no, his name is Arenado. It is? So Sportsnado, Sportsnado, does not even matter.
Thank you.
What matters is that the Nuggets have already won. Michael Porter Jr. has gone 30 points or more back-to-back games.
That's what's up.
Now the Avalanche are winning 1-0 in a West qualifying round-robin game. I was reading that this game, hockey guys, is more important to the Stars than to the Avalanche. But, you know, we still want to win them all.
I mean, when you're a hockey guy, you got to win them all. They're all
you got to win them all, right?
Right.
I mean, rules of being the hockey guys, you win them all.
Whether it's like technically a playoff game or not, you treat it like it's a playoff game. I mean, it says it's a playoff game, so you got to treat it like that's actually a playoff game, even though it's not really like a playoff game.
And what's fighting?
Well, that's cool.
Right. That's right. Meanwhile, as part of the Sportsnado today, you have...
I mean, are you going to emphasize that every time? You mess up one time. You know, I messed up one time.
I don't think you messed up. You gave the European version. It's fine. you have the Rockies later on tonight. How are you stopping these Rockies? Look at these Rockies. Are you kidding me? Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, always Broncos news.
Man, I love how it was like perfectly spaced out also. You got Nuggets, followed up by the Avs.
Yeah.
Followed up with a nice little evening nightcap of the Rockies.
It's beautiful. It's freaking awesome. Don't tell me that this is going to not happen. By the way, it was interesting listening to Peter King and Adam Schefter. So, and I heard Max Kellerman with the Zoakley show earlier.
Right.
Listen, man, and I like Max. And I watch Max every day on ESPN. Nobody has been more doom and gloom than Max Kellerman.
Well, he's definitely not a fan of the setup the football's got.
No. It's to the point with Max Kellerman that if things do continue and do go on, he looks kind of bad. Because, I mean, he is literally saying there is zero chance for football. Like, zero. That's all. How can you say something zero?
You know, I was looking at the numbers. Matter of fact, I've got it right here. Give me just 1 second. Of all the guys in the NFL that have tested positive. So with roughly 2,600 players currently on rosters, 3.5% of the guys have either tested positive or been put on the COVID-19 list because they came in close contact with it. So that's 90 players have been put on the reserve list. 35 players have already been activated from that list. I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad, right?
You know, talking to Schefter yesterday, he was saying how he felt like, hey, I'd rather be in an NFL facility. He has no confidence in his kid's school. And you talk about an NFL facility, yeah. Now, if you want to make the argument that KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver, the better place to be is in a bubble.
That was a very Stokely-like.
I was trying.
Yeah.
I was trying to be like Stokely.
I mean, normally, you kind of emphasize it.
I know.
Kind of reset.
I know.
You know, light the fireworks.
Right, because we have our whistle.
Get Britney screaming.
You know, I like our whistle. KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's 5 o'clock. All of this time, no sports, and today, Nuggets have already won. The Nuggets have already won. The Avalanche are winning. The Rockies are playing later tonight.
Michael Porter Jr. won a starting job.
I get it. Things don't look great in some corners, but I'll take a Sportsnado or Nado anytime we get them.
Cool day, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You have three teams that are all, well, two of them are already in the playoffs. It is going to take an epic collapse right now for the Rockies to not make the playoffs.
Remember when you laughed at me so hard when I said they just go 500? That's all I was asking from them?
They go 500 now. From now on, they are not only cruising in the playoffs, they may win the NL West. Well, we said it's, what, 2.7? And they're, what, 8-2 right now? Is that right? Yeah. Times 8. So they're 21.6 to 5.4. Let's just round up. So they're like 22. They're like 22-6 right now.
That's pretty dang solid.
22-6. We would be freaking out if the Rockies started 22-6. And by the way, they're tied right now for their best start ever.
So here's the question: do you think this pitching can hold up?
I have no idea why not. The only part of the pitching that scares me is they don't really have a closer. And Diaz,
that's like, gosh, like, you know, if you're not throwing 95 as a closer, can you really be a closer?
I mean, outs are outs. So if you're crafty and you can figure it out, I mean, you know, Mariano Rivera didn't throw in the mid-90s, but he was crafty, really crafty. He had two pitches, but he threw them great. He got outs. He was incredible. Diaz scares me. Almonte looked great last night. I think they got to try everybody. I think they do have to try Bard in that role. I think they got to try Tinley in that role. They got to give everybody a shot.
I don't know if you can put Bard in that role.
Tyler, I'd give him a shot.
Really? I don't know. I wouldn't even want to put that on him. You know, like, this has been cool.
Dude,
like, let's not shoot for the moon. Let's just let's be happy with a safe takeoff.
You're 1/6 done with the season. You got to give it it's okay to give it a shot.
I guess. I don't know, man. I mean, you want to mess with that mentality?
You don't have a choice. You got to give it, I think, you got to try everything here.
It's asking a lot, man. To me, that's like the equivalent of asking Michael Ojemudia to be your starting corner all season long.
Why did you draft him where you drafted him then? Why did you take him where you took him?
Well, you took him in the third round.
You know, I'm going to go to John here because he does have a question on something else that I think is very relevant to the community.
What's up, John? Oh.
John, how are you, pal?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Go ahead. What's your question?
Great.
Hey, I know you probably visited the Chassa decision to move football, et cetera, to the spring earlier.
Yeah, yesterday.
I just wondered, D-Mac, what you thought about moving high school baseball to the fall.
Yeah.
Because of all the travel teams and so forth and so on.
Right.
A lot of those kids won't play high school baseball. Weather's better anyway, and I think it might be might behoove Chassa to at least take a long, hard look at that.
All right, John, thank you for the call. I've thought about that actually a lot, and I got two sort of takes on it. First of all, will high-level kids skip their high school team that you're just playing 16, not even 23 games?
Well, yes.
High-level
kids. The answer is yes. I mean, your best players that are already going to college.
Hold on. You have to understand, in the baseball world, the best players are well committed before spring of their senior season.
Okay.
So there is zero reason for seniors.
No, it's beyond reason. I mean,
no, hold on. There's zero reason for seniors to skip a spring high school season. Zero reason. You're already committed. And because the best kids get committed much earlier, some of the best kids get committed after their sophomore year.
It's not a spring season. It's a summer season.
Whatever you want, it's summer season.
See, the problem is these seniors that are good, that they are committed, that they are going to play the next level, the second they get to the summer, they're off to their university.
No.
Yes.
No, they are not. What happens in baseball?
What would your son have been doing this summer had it been a normal year?
Playing collegiate baseball.
Right.
Summer, but that's not, those aren't showcase games. That's just workouts. It's different. It is different. Now, it's different for the seniors, graduating seniors, than it is for sophomores and juniors. Sophomores and juniors are more likely to go to clubs to get seen and recruited. But the seniors aren't. They're already committed.
No, I don't think we're on the same page here. I mean, by the time you get to summer, you go to the university.
No, and you don't.
Well, yes, you do.
You do not. I'm telling you how it works in baseball. You go to a summer team, not the university's team.
All right.
Well, this is how college baseball works.
All right. You know better than me.
Yeah. The Cape Cod League. Have you ever heard of it?
One and only time I'll ever tell you that. Of course I've heard of the Cape Cod League.
The Cape Cod League runs for college players in June and July. And then in August, it stops because you go back to your college.
Okay.
You do not play for your university. The season ends.
I guess I just assumed it'd be like any other sport where the second you get out of high school, you go up to your university so you can get in the weight room, you can get in the strength program, you can be a part of the off-season activities.
You can do all of those things, but there's no baseball team to play for. You'd have to play for... So
it's the norm, regardless, that you're not playing for your college during summer.
Nobody does.
Okay, all right.
Nobody does. So your seniors would actually be fine to play for their high school, but juniors and sophomores, it's different because they would try to go find a job. That's right. They would be playing in Lake Point, Georgia, which is the big mecca for getting recruited. But I will say this: most of those tournaments, or a lot of those tournaments, do happen mid June and later, meaning they still could play for their high school for most of the year. The only people that risk missing something, perhaps, are the teams that are in the state tournament. And only the 8 best teams in every division make it that far. So, for the vast majority of a very short season, it's only 16 games.
Yeah.
Most of your players would be fine. Now, let me get to my other point, though. So, you'd more or less be fine. Here's what they should have done with baseball, though. They should have. For the sake of the 2021s and 2022s who missed out on their spring season, they should right now play baseball in the fall because it would guarantee that everybody would get the games in. You could have a state championship, and you do a favor for those kids because it's a better recruitable time. And your conflicts with club ball are much, much less in the fall because club ball in the fall, Tyler, is only played on the weekends. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I get it. And look, man, there's no perfect solution to this. This is a tough situation. The Chassa did the best they possibly could. And quite frankly, I think they did a very respectable job. The problem is they're not having any team sports in the fall.
Well, softball, girls softball.
So that's interesting.
That's right.
That is interesting.
Right. So why not baseball, too?
Good question.
Right. And Chassa, listen, you may have just not quite thought this one all the way out. I would highly encourage you to just get back in a room, figure it out. I'm going to tell you, the varsity kids, Tyler, have all been playing baseball. Mm-hmm. They've all been on teams. They've all been playing. A lot of kids have traveled. They're good to go. They could turn it on like that and give them their season back. Don't make them wait until, you know, late April, June, and it's not a conflict with any other sports. Unless your kid, like, runs cross-country and plays baseball.
It is very curious that they would have softball but not baseball.
Right, they're doing a great job, but they missed a step. They just missed it a little bit, and just do baseball.
The overall plan, though, man, I think they've done a great job. A little hiatus.
How are you feeling about the football stuff starting in late February?
Dude, that's weird. That's a bummer for the kids for a number of reasons, man. The recruiting process and everything, that's the biggest bummer. The kids that need their senior year in order to get to the next level had to get showcased. I mean, it's kind of after National Signing Day. Like, that's a tough deal. Then on top of that, you're going to force the kids that play multiple sports. They got to make a choice, whether it's track or whether it's whatever that they're going to be competing with. They got to make a choice. So it's not ideal, but... Football, man, there were a lot of problems with playing football at the high school level. I think it's still going to be a little bit of a miracle if it gets played at all in the fall. I do. In the spring.
Why do you think it'll be somewhat of a miracle? What do you think the biggest issue is?
Testing and no cure. How do you test high school kids and how do you put high school kids in a sport in which you've got that amount of contact? It's not going to be the NFL where these guys are getting tested walking in every single day and they know, hey man, I could walk out on that field feeling safe because number one, I've been tested this morning. Yeah. And number two, I walked through that magical machine. You know, at the high school level, you don't have that. So football's a tough ask.
All right, well, there you go. The high school stuff.
Good luck. They didn't cancel it, though. I'm glad they're going to try to play.
I am, too. And I hope you don't. Nobody takes my criticism or suggestion as an insult to what has already come up, because I think this was nearly an impossible thing to figure out. And overall, I think it's really great. Because wouldn't you rather have some sort of season than no season?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what? I bet in terms of the baseball, even though it's tempting to do the club stuff, I bet you most of the kids play for their high school. I bet you most of them do, if they can get that far. Winning a state championship for your high school still, Tyler, trumps everything. It trumps everything.
Well, they're the kids you grew up with. They're the kids in the neighborhood. They're the kids that you've got a bond with. You don't have any bond with the club kid teams. You don't have any bond with going to some tournament playing as some substitute player, as a mercenary player, you know. There's no affiliation there.
No, and
you've
and
got the pride in your neighborhood.
Colleges, in all honesty, seriously, they really don't give a crap about your high school season. The reason why they don't give a crap about your high school season is they know high school baseball is filled with, like, wild varieties of talent. Whereas when you play a certain level of travel ball, club ball, they know the talent is legit depending on who you're playing and where you're playing. Right. Whereas they really, you know, I hit 560 in high school. They don't care. But hitting 560 in high school means virtually nothing. But if you go do a showcase tournament in Lake Point, Georgia, and you're a perfect game All-American, you know, you're going to get people's attention.
Man, I'm glad that I didn't have to do that with football. I'm glad that football, like, it was all just my high school. That was everything.
I know, that's,
you know?
Football's lucky like that.
You didn't have to worry about traveling and going and participating in all-star events,
right,
and all that.
Right.
No, all you had was your high school season, so you could put everything that you have, your heart and soul, into that team. And I'm glad that I didn't have to deal with the distractions of worrying about where should my priorities be.
I know at least four kids from Smoky Hill, my local high school, at least four kids that are playing Division I football because of their senior fall footballs. If it wasn't for their senior season, they would not have the opportunities they currently have.
Man, when I coached at Valor 2 years ago, man, we had multiple kids that were seniors that going into the state championship game did not have any offers, and they picked up offers after the state championship game.
Right.
One kid went to CSU.
So baseball, to me, it's like, don't worry about baseball. Baseball, for those reasons, is fine. Colleges will figure it out. The kids will it's not a big deal, actually. I got my own little, you know, opinion, but it's they're fine. Football is way more concerning.
Right.
And don't forget, too,
there will be any high school senior in football that is committed, and they know that they're going somewhere. No way they play that season.
Right. It's not baseball. It's football.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going, oh man, you're right about that. If you're a D1 kid, why would you even play? You'd go to your college.
I clearly was wrong in my assumption that baseball was the same, but I know for me, the second I graduated, I was in Boulder.
So you were already, when were you committed to CU?
I committed just before my senior season.
Okay. So theoretically, that would still happen. There was nothing about your senior season that made a difference to your offer to CU.
No.
All right. So put yourself, it's August, you've decided on CU, and you had a lot of offers, right?
Yeah, I had like 14.
Okay. So you had 14 offers and you made your mind up. Big deal, right? Why in the world, Tyler Palumbus, when you're already committed, full scholarship, full ride?
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world would you risk, especially considering you were pretty good in high school, you probably could have graduated in December, and you could have been at CU in January. Why in the world would you play your high school football season?
Just love of the game. That's the only reason why you would do it. I mean, just...
You can't love the game in college?
You don't want to let down your peers. You don't want to let down your teammates.
What would you have done?
I don't know, man. That's a tough ask of the kids.
I think you'd be insane to play for your high school under those circumstances.
I mean, when I was in high school, though, there was nothing like this. There was no such thing as an opt-out. You didn't have kids skipping out on bowl games. You didn't have NFL players making this like a new thing. You didn't have college kids skipping out on their senior season because of COVID. I think the temperature is much different in today's day. So for sure, these high school kids are looking at college kids opting out, looking at pros opting out, and that will have a trickle-down effect. I think I would have played. Even all that being said, I'm telling you, going back to high school football, that was the most pure football ever was. Getting underneath those Friday night lights, that was the coolest thing ever. You had 500 people in the stadium if you were lucky, but it felt like there were 500,000 people in that
stadium.
Well,
what about if you have no people in the stands then?
Oh, well.
What if it's not Friday night lights? What if it's Thursday afternoon because that's when you can get in the stadium?
Yeah, that feels different, doesn't
it? What if it's Sunday at 1?
Yeah, that feels a lot different.
Right?
What am I doing? Why am I putting myself
at
risk?
With no fans in the stands whatsoever. No band, because there is no band. No cheerleaders, because there is no cheer. You know, no barrel boy. Right. He can't be there. Well, maybe the barrel boy can be there. But, I mean, you know, but nobody there. I went to my kid's
Sorry,
high school.
Connor.
Yeah. I went to my kid's, Dylan. That's
Dylan,
right.
My bad.
It's
my
okay.
Bad.
I went to my kid's high school graduation. It was me and my wife. I was lucky to be there. It was half of the student body was at graduation. And the parents were, I mean, Stutler bulbs. So it's scattered all over the place. It was weird, dude. I mean, it was not what it should have been. It was the best they could do under the circumstances, and I'm incredibly grateful. But again, it's not what you picture. So if it's not what you picture, if it's not Friday Night Lights, if it's I mean, really, why? Because you just love your boys? I mean, maybe. 7 games, and then the playoffs.
You will absolutely see a trickle down. You will see high school kids not play.
And by the way, I heard Sean Drotar talk about it. And they
you have to be committed. You have to know where you're going. And you have to know that scholarship is secured. You've already committed. You can't do anything to lose it. There's nothing at risk.
I mean, think about this, too. When are you applying for college? In the fall. You're not applying for college in May?
Point. That's a good point.
April?
You know where you're going to school by then.
It sucks, man. And not every kid goes to, like, a major Power 5 D1.
No.
I know a kid, he's going to the University of San Diego. It's like, it's a 1AA sort of school, right?
You know what? It's a cool program. It's a good program.
Very good program. But come on, man. They need to
My
see
My sister
you.
Went there, by the way.
It's a cool school.
She played tennis for USD.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
that
cool.
place is, have you ever seen that?
I have. I've been there, high up on the hill.
You are on a hill, and it is it's a 5-star resort. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. She got a full-ride tennis scholarship there.
Good and for her.
Played
That's
number
awesome.
One. She made it to the semifinals, NCAAs. She had a tough break, man. She probably would have gone pro in tennis, but she had to miss her senior season. She had a career-ending wrist injury.
Oh. That's where she could make millions. Outshine you.
Oh. Dude, I was by far the least athletic of the Plumbus family.
All right, anyways, that's the latest and greatest on that. Hey, Von Miller, did you hear the Joey Bosa deal?
Yeah.
All right, so Joey Bosa enters the league at the same time Von Miller signed his then record $19.08 million per year deal. Bosa now is making $27 million.
Right. Von's
right.
got roughly $19 million.
What does this make you think about Von's? Is Von a bargain? For example, we said that for Von to come back next year, it's got to be some sort of spectacular season. Does Bosa's contract change your mind on the season Von has to have because he's kind of a bargain comparatively?
I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the salary cap. That's what it comes down to. You've got roughly $20 million that is tied up in Von, and you have to determine whether that amount is relative to the production you're getting. Kliss put out a good tweet, and he summarized it very well, and it did make me think for a second here. Joey Bosa entered the league at the same time as Von Miller signed his then-record-setting contract. It was $19.08 million per year. This is in 2016. In that 4-year span, Von Miller had 46 sacks. Bosa had 40 sacks. Bosa now has the defensive record for $27 million per year. So could there be a case to be made that Von would be a bargain in his current market deal? That was an interesting tweet, and it did make me think, and I think that maybe it changes things slightly, but I mean, maybe like to the degree of, okay, is it 13 sacks that he needed? Well, that's kind of what we were talking about before, right? Kind of 12, 13 sacks.
Well, that's what you said.
That's what I said. What did you say?
I'm fine with 9-8-9, whatever. I see some intangibles with Vaughn after that call yesterday that I'm like, hey, man, you don't get guys like this very often.
Well, that was a bit of an evolution for you. I mean, you didn't start there, but yeah, that's where you are.
That's where I am, and yeah. I think he's the leader's leader. And to me, I don't need 13 sacks to want Vaughn back, but you reasonably said, yeah, you know, 13 sacks.
So maybe it changes it. Okay, like if he had the exact same year at 8 sacks, you can't bring him back for $20 million. That's a lot of money.
The intangibles aren't worth it?
Can you pay a leader $20 million just to be a leader?
It was pretty important with DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, but that's
Peyton Manning.
I mean, DeMarcus Ware was making like 7, I think.
What's the magic number then for intangible leadership? Peyton Manning made 15.
You got to get to double digits. You still have to hang out somewhere at 10 sacks or above.
Peyton Manning was coming off a year where he was not good, according to the John Elway book.
Right.
John Elway book really details how bad Manning was at the end of his third year.
Man, I cannot believe that he asked him to take $9 million. You flat out were just asking him to quit.
You asked
Peyton Manning to take a pay cut of $11 million.
In Jason Cole's book, Elway, A Relentless Life, he details how Elway asked Peyton Manning to take a, ready for this, $10 million pay cut. $10 million pay cut. Wanted to sign Brock up for like $5 million a year to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Which is weird. Like, why even offer the guy?
I don't know.
Why would you even offer him for $5 million per year? Clearly, you don't think he's good enough to be your starter.
Exactly.
So why even give him a deal?
Got me. It makes no sense.
You're almost going to regret it if he signs on it. Like, if he was like, oh, cool, I'll play for $5 million.
You know, I'm going to tell you this.
You just signed up a guy that you didn't have any belief in.
Hey, Broncos fans, thank God for Joe Ellis. I'm telling you what. According to Jason Cole, Elway, A Relentless Life, thank God for Joe Ellis.
I mean, Elway's done a lot of good things also. He's done a lot of good things.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but thank God for Joe Ellis, regarding Peyton Manning at least, who said, let's go get Peyton Manning in the first place.
Joe Ellis, after Peyton Manning was asked to take a pay cut down to $9 million, Joe Ellis had to save the day to the degree that he had to fly to New Orleans
right.
in a private plane and go pick him up and try to save face.
And he did. Yeah. Joe Ellis basically told John Elway, this is silly. We can pay Peyton Manning, as they turned out, $15 million a year $2 million bonus for AFC Championship, $2 million bonus for the Super Bowl. Joe Ellis got Peyton Manning off that, got John Elway off that sort of $10 million pay cut for Peyton Manning.
By the way, they said that Peyton did go out and shop it around a little bit, at least trying to get some feelers out there. Is there a market if I were to just ask for my release?
Yes.
And there was a market financially, but he didn't feel like there was a team that he could go win a championship with.
I'm telling you. Elway, A Relentless Life by Jason Cole. You got to read it.
Of course you love it. Of course you're like, oh, man, Elway drama. I got to read this book overnight. Yeah. Is they going to say something bad?
Well, it's a hell of a story,
Tyler,
isn't it?
Why haven't you read this yet? It's been out for 24 hours. You haven't read this whole book
yet? It's not out until
Elway drama in there.
It's September 15th.
We got the pre-release for 24 hours.
Right. It's a heck of a story. Joe Ellis is getting on a plane to go to New Orleans to smooth things over, or you could have got into a silly. Can you imagine if Peyton Manning was not on your team that year? I mean, it was going in that direction, dude. It was pretty close. Joe Ellis just insisted that we got to have Peyton Manning back. We got to have him. Elway was absolutely willing to move on from Peyton Manning. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, well. When you ask him to take a pay cut for less than half of what he was previously making,
you're ready to move on.
No, you're not just ready to move on. You're asking him to ask for his release. Like you're
right.
You're trying to get him to ask for his release.
Hey, you can read it for yourself, man. When it's September 15th, when it comes out, I'm doing a great job. I should deserve a cut of this book, huh? I'm crushing this book.
Oh, there's Elway drama.
I can't.
Here you go. You're back. You know, you kind of had like a, I don't know, maybe about a month in there where You did a 180, and you've been bashing Elway for about five straight years.
I'm talking.
And then all of a sudden, there was about a month. The previous month, you were like defending Elway all over the place. Now you're like, hey, we got Elway drama.
Well, dude, I didn't write the book. I didn't put the book out. I didn't sign off on writing it. Am I just supposed to ignore it?
I don't know.
It's supposed to be like, oh, don't worry about it.
I don't know.
Hey, we have some great news. It's our Sports NATO today. The Nuggets have already won. The Avalanche are playing right now. The Rockies later tonight. We are talking about championship teams on every single level. There is great news to share about Sports NATO Avalanche next.
Miss any of the drive? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.